Well, we've talked about our national parks with a couple of great guests, and going to turn our attention even to a more local, at least state level, and take a look at our Wisconsin wetlands, the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. We're also going to take a look at wild rice restoration, and we'll explain why in just a second here. Katie Bielefis, one of our guests with me in the studio, the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Katie, great to see you again.
It's always a pleasure, Larry. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Also, Peter David, our guest, is a biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, and he's being honored for his work on wild rice restoration with a 2012 Wetlands Award. And he joins us now from our Superior studios. And Peter, are you there?
I am, Larry. Thank you very much. Hello to you and to Katie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today as we talk about our wetlands and talk about wild rice. There's so many things that we can talk about. Katie, first, how do you define a wetland?
Well, a wetland is defined by three main criteria. Is there water at all or some of the year? Is there soils that have developed under wet conditions, wetland or hydric soils? And are there plants growing there that have special adaptations to enable them to grow with wet feet, so to speak? And the tricky part becomes that sort of some of the time, all of the time question,
yeah.
Because especially this year, we've experienced a very dry summer and fall. And so a lot of places that might normally be wet are not wet this right now, but they're still wetlands. So making sure that you're aware of sort of the seasonality of wetlands is a very important thing to be aware of when you're looking out on the landscape and trying to find wetlands.
And why are they so important to our ecosystem?
You know, when you look at the natural benefits that nature provides, whether it's forests or prairies or oceans, among all the natural communities, wetlands have one of the longest lists of natural benefits that they provide for our communities. They're really workhorses for our human communities and our biodiversity. Flood protection is a very big service that wetlands provide. When we take wetlands out of systems, we see often more and worse flooding. They're really important for water cleansing and for recharging our groundwater. And they provide wonderful places for fish and wildlife species to live and for us to go out and enjoy those. And it's a big base of Wisconsin's heritage.
It definitely is, and we've had a lot of wetlands. We've lost a lot of wetlands over the years, too.
Unfortunately, we have. We've lost more than half of our wetlands. We're doing better than a lot of our neighbors because we have the North Woods and many other areas that weren't as appropriate for farming, or at least weren't a first choice for farming, and so we are blessed in that regard. But losing half of your wetlands is still a lot, and we have a lot of ground to make up.
Peter, you're a biologist with the Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Tell us about that commission and what it does.
Well, the commission is an agency that assists its member tribes in the implementation of their off-reservation treaty rights. So there are 11 tribes that are members of the commission, and I work in an area of lands that were ceded. And when the tribe ceded those lands, they specifically retained the right to hunt, fish, and to gather off of that land. So in Wisconsin, we're talking about roughly the northern third of the state. I also work in parts of Minnesota and parts of Michigan.
And you're being honored for your work in wild rice restoration. Well, that was hard for me to say for some reason, but it's wild rice restoration. Wild rice has a lot of cultural significance for the native peoples of Wisconsin. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it's almost hard to understate just how significant this plant is culturally. You know, the Menominee Indians actually take their name from this plant, and the Ojibwe tribes, which are Anishinaabe that I work for, rice has a very central place in their migration story. At one time, these tribes were actually living along the eastern seaboard, and certain prophets came to the tribes and indicated that they were to undertake a westward migration. And they didn't really know how far they had to go, how long it was going to take, or really what their ultimate destination was. But the prophets indicated that trip would be over when they came to the place where the food grew on the water. And that food, of course, was Menomon. And when the tribes finally made it to this area in the Western Lake Superior region, which you can sort of think of as the wild rice bowl of the world, really, where this plant grows in abundance, those prophecies were fulfilled. So it made this plant certainly a cultural centerpiece. It has tremendous nutritive value. On top of that, the single most overall nutritious foodstuff available in a native diet. So you take those things, and it was natural that when the commission was formed following the reaffirmation of the tribe's off-reservation rights, that this would be an area that they'd really focus on.
Yeah. Boy, with lots to talk about today with our two guests, Katie Bialfus, Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and Peter David, biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, as we talk with them about our wetlands and wild rice restoration. You may have some questions for them. Are you aware of the wetlands in your area? Do you know how to protect them? What about favorite ways to enjoy our state's beautiful wetlands? What about wild rice and wild rice production? Have you had a chance to participate in harvesting wild rice? I think someday it would be a wonderful thing to experience. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Maybe you've got a great photo of some of our wetlands or the wild rice areas that you'd like to share with us, and do that on the Facebook page. And Katie, there are a lot of ways to enjoy our wetlands, and I know the Wisconsin Wetlands Association really tries to connect people to those areas. Talk about how you do that.
In fact, enjoyment is one of the three pillars of our mission. Protection, restoration, and enjoyment are the three things that we focus on as an organization. And sometimes people look at me strangely when I say enjoyment because it seems like it's in a different category. But we're firm believers that one of the best ways to make sure we have wetlands on our landscape is to help people fall in love with them. Because when you get into a wetland and experience the sounds and the sights and the smells, you really do develop a deeper appreciation for why they're so wonderful and why they're so important. So we offer a field trip series that we organize ourselves and in partnership with many other groups. We also promote any wetland activity that comes across our desk. We put up on our wetlands calendar anywhere in the state of Wisconsin to try to make sure that folks have a way to connect with lots of different things that are going on across the state. So we have one more field trip in our field trip series on the upper Mississippi in early November that's filling up fast. So if you want to take a nice boat trip, give us a call.
And I think we probably have you up on our, yeah, we've got the Wisconsin Wetlands Association up on my Facebook page as well, so there's a link there, too. We have some callers online. Again, if you'd like to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm thinking about wild rice here for just a minute, Peter. Wild rice beds are pretty much in the northern part of the state, are they not?
That's more true now than it was historically. At the time of European contact, we really found wild rice throughout the state, and really some of the biggest beds were in the south.
But is that right?
That's where we've had some of the greatest losses as well. And the abundance of rice right now is primarily in the north. But you can still find it, especially in some of the riverways in the south.
Ann in Madison has a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hello. We have a cabin up at Endeavor on the Fox River.
Yes.
And because the Fox River has been, because the lake in Endeavor is being lowered so that Montello can have repairs done on their dam, the Fox River, of course, is very low, so all the muck that's along the shores of the Fox in front of our cabin and other cabins is very prominent. And we have had the delight of seeing little Sora, which is a kind of a rail that likes to eat rice, in this muck. We've had wild rice growing this year for the first time that we've seen it in 18 years. And it's also, we've noticed upriver from us as well in shallow parts. And it's just very exciting. But the birds I'll get the wild rice. We have not been able to harvest any of it. I got about a little tiny handful just to see what it was like, but it's really just neat.
Oh,
the dry weather has brought in some interesting bird sightings. I've heard other people, Sora is usually a pretty tricky one to see.
Yes.
And so that's a real special treat. I'm so glad you had that experience.
Yes, and he's still around.
Ah, great.
So it's been over a month that we've been seeing him on the weekends.
Yeah, they're so common in the rice beds, actually, that to the Ojibwe, they were simply rice birds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
interesting. Oh, cool.
and the fact that the rice is coming in now in an area where it hadn't been for a while, is that on?
It's an interesting observation. You know, we don't know always how long the seed will stay viable in places. If you put a dam, for example, and you flood a bed out, some of the evidence suggests that seed may only last 4 or 5 years, but I've also heard a number of anecdotal stories this way where when the right conditions come back, sometimes even decades later, that there's still a viable seed bank and some recovery that's possible.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ann, for calling. Let's turn to Autumn in Bellevue. Hi, Autumn. Thank you for calling.
I would like to know how you volunteer to protect wetlands, and do you have any internships paid or unpaid, or how would you volunteer?
All right.
Well, we love volunteers, and not only does our organization love volunteers, we like connecting volunteers up with folks who are doing on-the-ground work in whatever community they're living. So our organization doesn't own or manage land, but we certainly like to connect folks up who can do that. Give our office a call. Our number is 608-250-9971. We don't have any current internships, but we're always looking for people who are interested in what we do and willing to lend a hand, because there's more work to be done than we can carry out, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so volunteering, all kinds of volunteer opportunities.
Lots of community groups that'll give you a role right in your community, pulling weeds or doing all kinds of wetland restoration activities.
Mm-hmm. And I bet the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission may have, there may be volunteer opportunities there, I'm not sure. We'll find that out. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back with our guests, Katie Bialfus and Peter David, to talk some more about wild rice and about those wetlands. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Our environment is really complex. Our wetlands are a crucial element to those ecosystems. How do we enjoy and preserve them at the same time? Talking today with a couple of guests, Katie Bialfus with the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. They're working to educate people and give us some knowledge and tools to protect our wetlands. Also joined by Peter David, and Peter works to restore wild rice beds and has a lot of great information to share with us. So I hope you'll join in. Stay with us. They'll be with us right up until 12:30 here on the Ideas Network. We can talk often about the wonderful natural areas in Wisconsin. It's always a treat to focus in on our amazing wetlands that we have here. Larry Mueller here. Talking today with Katie Bialfus. Katie's the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Katie, always a pleasure to have you join us. Thanks for coming by.
It's always so much fun. Thanks, Larry.
And Peter David, biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. He's being honored for his work on wild rice restoration with a 2012 Wetlands Award. He joins us from our Superior Studios. And Peter, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us.
It's wonderful. Thank you, Larry.
And Katie, let's talk about Peter's award. Now, you're presenting this. The Wisconsin Wetlands Association is presenting this award. Tell us about it.
Sure. We have an annual Wetlands Awards program. This is our fifth year, I believe. And we honor each year three groups or individuals, one for work in wetland protection, one for work in wetland restoration, and one for work for wetland enjoyment. And Peter, of course, is getting our Wetland Restoration Award this year for the work that he does. He's very shy about his work. He likes to give credit to all of his partners, and that's very noble of him. And we also think he does amazing stuff. But I should mention who the other award winners are, since we only were able to have one person on the show. Our Wetland Protection Award is going to Caroline Claren and Alice Klink, who are both biologists with NRCS with the Wetland Reserve Program, working with private landowners to try to restore wetlands on former converted lands. And our Wetland Enjoyment Award is going to an interesting man named Mark Smith, who has really done a great job of getting kids out to have hands-on experiences in wetlands, which, as we talked about earlier, is such an important piece of instilling that love for wetlands. So doing a lot of work at Patrick Marsh and otherwise to get the youth out into wetlands. So congratulations to all of those folks. We have an awards program next week, October 25th, Thursday, right here at the UW-Madison Arboretum Visitor Center. And if anybody else would like to come, we welcome
you. Beautiful setting for that.
It's lovely. It's gorgeous this time of year. Really lovely.
Yeah. So there's still places people want to come? They
sure
can come?
Yeah, it's actually a free event. We accept donations, but come on down. We've got some snacks and beverages, and we'd love to have you there.
Ah, wonderful.
Great opportunity to find a little bit more about our organization and hear more about these wonderful wetland heroes.
And Peter, Katie was talking about earlier about volunteer opportunities. Are there volunteer opportunities? Maybe not with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.
No, there really are.
Good.
And the first thing I would want to say about, you know, I'm very honored and humbled here by this recognition, but I have to say rice restoration in Wisconsin really is a highly cooperative effort. And we actually at the commission are similar to Wisconsin Wetland Association, that we're not landowners. So everything we do, frankly, is cooperative with someone else. And we have big partners, certainly in the Wisconsin DNR and the Forest Service, and Fish and Wildlife Service, and the counties. But one of the great things about rice restoration, actually, is it's not particularly expensive. It's not particularly hard to do. And so we work with local lake associations, and we work with even interested individuals. And so there's real opportunities for people to get involved, either as volunteers. We do have typically a couple of college students that we hire as interns each summer to work on wild rice. But we're really interested and willing to cooperate with anybody who has an interest in this resource. And you can do it at so many different levels that it really makes it something easy for small groups to get involved in.
That's wonderful. Well, we have callers online to visit with you. And by the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question about wild rice, you have a question about our wetlands, or comment about them, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And Frank and Prairie du Chien, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Just want to let you know that down along the lower Wisconsin River from at least Wazika down to the mouth, there is an abundance of wild rice starting to grow. The last 4 or 5 years, it's really been running nicely. Do a lot of duck hunting in the lower Wisconsin bottoms, and pretty much wherever you go, you find it.
It's interesting to hear. It seems like a lot of these low water years are triggering some of that that growth in some of these dormant seed banks. I'd be kind of curious whether those are great big plants, if you're talking about the kind of rice that has the cornstalk type stem, because in Wisconsin there's really two species. There's what we call northern wild rice, which is predominantly in the northern part of the state, and from a human harvesting perspective is the most important one. But in parts of southern Wisconsin, we have the other variety, which the plant is very large and robust. It may be 8 feet over the surface of the water, but the seeds are actually smaller. And while they're very important to wildlife and for a lot of natural consumers of the plant, they're less so for humans.
Hmm, interesting.
That's the type we have, and there's been many times that you can sneak your boat or canoe in there and use it as a natural blind, and it's nice to see all that stuff coming back. And you're right, we have had low waters in this area for the last 5 or 6 years, and I think that's helped.
That's probably has helped. Hey, Frank, thank you.
Another reason that lower Wisconsin Riverway is a Wisconsin wetland gem. Some great resources down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, an email from David and Gordon talking about the sorrel rail or rice birds that are abundant when the rice is ripe. Are they eating the rice or rice worms? Peter.
It's a good question. I think they probably eat more of the rice than the worms. And the rice worm, for those of you who aren't familiar with that term, it's really a small moth larvae that's very commonly found in the rice beds. But blackbirds, for example, probably eat both of those things. And it's not always clear what the relationship sometimes is. Some people look at blackbirds, for example, as being maybe a problem. Maybe that they're a benefit by consuming as many worms as seeds.
Got a Facebook question from Thor, who said, I've been told that carp are at least to some extent responsible for the demise of wild rice beds in our small lake in Burnett County. I wonder if that is true and what can be done to reduce or eliminate that impact.
You know, carp are an interesting thing, and as I mentioned, I do most of my work in northern Wisconsin, where it hasn't been as big an impact as it's been in the south. But on Clam Lake in Burnett County, which has historically been the most significant harvesting lake off-reservation in Wisconsin, we saw a collapse in the hundreds of acres of rice beds that existed there. And the St. Croix tribe has really taken the lead, working with the DNR and with the Lake Association, with other folks, to try to bring that back. And it's an interesting story, because it looks like what happened is that there was a winter kill that killed bluegill. And the bluegill feed very heavily on carp eggs. And so even though carp had been in that system for decades, this loss of the bluegill led to an explosion in the carp population that subsequently led to a huge decline in the rice beds.
Oh.
The tribe has this year we saw some recovery for the first time in about a half a dozen years in a bay where the carp are fenced out of that, and we hope that additional work can lead to some recovery in other parts of the lake there as well.
Very interesting. Kind of sad. Judy in Chippewa Falls, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. This is interesting because I have twin grandsons who are 9 years old, and they are studying this very thing in school. I have not seen them this excited about anything in a long time. And I also wanted to ask you, there's been a lot of talk about arsenic in rice. Does that affect the wild rice at all?
We haven't seen that in wild rice. I can't say there's been a lot of testing going on for it, but it doesn't seem to be an issue at this point.
All right. Well, that's good. And it's and 9-year-olds studying wildlife or studying wetlands?
I have a 9-year-old myself, so I've seen that kind of joy. There is nothing like a little kid in a wetland touching frogs and
They love bugs and frogs everything, so this is right up their alley. But I haven't seen them this excited about anything in a long time.
We got to find out who that teacher is and give her an award next year. Or him,
yeah. Oh, that's great, Judy. Thanks a lot for calling. They're fourth graders?
Pardon me?
They're fourth graders?
Yep, they're fourth graders, and they're really excited. They get to do science this year, so they've been learning all about that stuff.
Yeah, my daughter's
been
getting that, too.
I haven't seen them this excited. They're just, it's great, and they're telling all the neighborhood kids and everybody.
Keep it up. That's wonderful. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Larry, that's a good opportunity for me to say, actually, that our awards program is based on nominations, and anybody can nominate anyone for one of these three awards. Our typical cycle, we have the award celebration every fall, and so generally by July or so, June or July, we're seeking nominations for that. And we accept nominations from anyone. We have a form, and it's pretty simple, but we welcome that. If there's somebody in your community who's doing some really great stuff for wetlands, we'd love to hear about it.
Thanks again, Judy, for calling. Gary and Slinger, hello.
Good morning. I live on a little lake. It's a 16-acre bog lake. Excellent swimming and fishing. My question is, if you were to plant rice, does it take over, or does it require, if it's deep, it won't take? What's the story on that?
It really depends on how suitable the habitat is. Rice typically will grow to about a 3-foot depth. It needs good organic mucky bottoms. It also needs flowing water, which you may not have at your location.
I actually do. It is a spring-fed lake, and it's been around for many, many years. And if in the deeper water, it won't take. So in other words, it would stick around the sides where the muck is, and it wouldn't take where the waters, where the depths are 10, 15, 20 feet.
Oh yeah, no, not at all into those kinds of depths. People who are interested,
it would stay around the shoreline, in other words.
That's right.
Yes.
People who are interested in planting rice, and it's a plant, because it's so attractive to so many forms of wildlife, it's been planted by people for centuries, really. At Glyphwick, we have some seeding guidelines that we gladly share with people, and by contacting us there at Glyphwick, Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.org, we'd be happy to send those on to people to sort of answer the kind of questions you might have if that was something you're interested in pursuing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Will that be posted on your website?
Okay. Yeah, we'll put it up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Judith will get that up. Yeah, I think we already have it up. So.
Okay. Thank you very, very much for your answer.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your question or comment at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We would love to hear from you. you know, despite the fact we've been talking about the fact that, well, there's some wild rice appearing where it hasn't been before, or at least for a long time, because of the drought. Really, Peter, the drought has had a pretty tough effect on wild rice, hasn't it, overall?
Boy, it's been such an odd year, and maybe odd recent years. We driving over here this morning, I'm looking at these wetlands that are very dry, and yet one of the big things to hit rice this year, it's an annual plant, comes up from seed, so it tends to vary a lot from year to year, but we had, not far from where I'm sitting, I guess, what they called the Duluth Deluge, where we had that huge storm people probably heard about back in June. The wild rice at that point was in a floating leaf stage, which is a fairly fragile point in its life cycle. And a lot of beds were lost right at that point. Plants were drowned. They were uprooted with rising water. And so we lost beds to high water. We have places where the water was so low that even where there was rice, harvesters at least had a difficult time getting into them. We're seeing some new threats, I think, to rice, not only from things like carp, but associated with climate change, perhaps a greater frequency of fungal disease called brown spot that seems to be coming on with these warm years we've had. So there's plenty of reasons, I guess, to have some concern about this resource.
Caller wondered if this goes back to wetlands again. A caller wondered if sedge meadows are considered wetlands, and if so, are there some in Wisconsin?
It is a wetland, and we do have lots in Wisconsin. And one resource that Wisconsin Wetlands put together a few years back, Larry, that you and I have talked about before, is our Wetland Gems program, including a book that we published. It's a spiral-bound book. It's available in a lot of libraries. We sell it through our organization. We have a couple of, I think we have a dozen retail outlets around the store state as well. But that book combines fact sheets about these 100 wetland gems that we've identified. They're all high-quality sites around the state, and each one we identify the different wetland community types that are available there. So you can take a look at the map, find a wetland gem near you, figure out which one's a sedge meadow, and go have a look. There's some really wonderful sedge meadows in Wisconsin.
Very nice ones. And again, we have a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and get that link right away. Facebook question from Bonnie. Are there currently any efforts to restore wild rice in Waupaca County, Peter?
You know, not that I'm aware of. It's outside of the ceded territory that I work in. But I know there's interest across the state at various local levels. And it wouldn't certainly surprise me to find out about it, but I'm just not aware of any.
And an email from Bill. So get that out of there. First Americans are concerned about water quality being compromised if mining occurs up north. Runoff starting from around Mellon and flowing to Lake Superior could hurt the harvest. Evidently, rice is sensitive to the changes in the local ecosystem. Can you characterize just what kind of a runoff from mining it would take for rice to fail at the Superior shoreline? Where can we learn more about this issue? That's from Bill in Madison.
It's an interesting issue. You know, in our state to the west in Minnesota, they actually have a sulfite level in surface water that's designed and intended to protect wild rice stands. And we don't have anything comparable to that in Wisconsin. And it's clear that while the chemistry involved here is pretty complex and hard to simplify, that sulfates in particular can have a marked effect on rice abundance. So that's certainly one of the threats that we would look at potentially coming from mines. And then just the alteration of hydrology, lowering water tables and doing that kind of a thing could have market impacts as well.
Karen in Lakota Ray, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening in the car, and I know Peter David, and I just wanted to say thank you personally from myself. Because I am a member of the Lakota Ray Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and wanted to thank him personally, first of all, for his efforts in wild rice restoration. I was wondering if perhaps he could speak to the need for wildlife restoration, like what causes were there that created this need.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just like share that.
Okay, thanks for calling. And Peter?
Well, you know, Katie already mentioned that just the percentage of Wisconsin's wetlands that were lost, and we've lost a lot of the historic rice beds that existed here. Hydrology was probably the biggest thing. Damming areas or draining them and altering the natural flow of hydrology has impacted a lot of rice beds. Development, exotic species, and a whole lot of other things are kind of adding to that list. And now climate change is maybe the newest and greatest threat out there across the landscape. So I think there is a real need. We certainly don't have the abundance of rice that existed here prior to European contact. There's some opportunities to bring that back, certainly not always on the same locations where it existed. Some of those places have been altered so much. But we have other places, I think, out there that create some real opportunities. And so there is a need and there's some real benefits, I think, ecologically to bringing this back on the landscape. And certainly the ability for people to utilize this as well is certainly an important thing, I think. You know, Katie talked about this enjoyment and having a relationship with wetlands and wetland plants. And this one is one that can really tie people in. And I think the more people that we have out there loving wild rice, frankly, the greater its chances are as we head into the future here.
Thanks, Karen. I appreciate the call. Michelle in Prairie du Sac, I want to give you a chance. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I was calling because my husband is an environmental geologist, and he talks over and over about how important the wetlands are in general for cleaning up pollution. And one of the things he does is cleans up water contamination. And with the political things going on right now, I was just wondering, one of the funds that really helps up clean water contamination is PECFA fund. I was wondering if there was something, you know, candidate, you know, one side versus another that does help a little bit more with cleaning up things for the wetlands.
Because I'm not really sure I understood the question. Certainly wetlands are hugely important for water quality and improving water quality, and we have lots of examples of that here in the state, both with natural wetlands and restored wetlands. And there's a variety of funding opportunities for that, but I don't know this PECFA fund that she mentioned.
Yeah, that is more for cleanup water contamination, and it is something that the government does. You know, like if a Democrat's in, a lot of times that's important for them to clean up water contamination, where if a Republican's in there, they want oil exploration, and they don't really care about the environment as much. I'm wondering if that affects you at all with
funding for our organization?
Mm. Yeah.
We have a broad mix of funding, grants, some public money grants, and some private foundation grants. We depend on members for a lot of our support, and I really appreciate all of our members around the state who contribute to that. So we blessedly are not don't find ourselves at the whim of politics. We try to take politics out of our work and work with diplomacy, and wetlands are good for everybody, so let's all be friends.
There we go. Thanks a lot for calling. Mary in Madison, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to ask two questions. One was about the spiral notebook. What was that called?
It's called the Wetland Gems book.
Wetland Gems.
Gems, G-E-M, like diamond and emerald.
Okay. And also, restoration efforts as far as Sedge Meadows, they're beautiful. And is there any private or public funds for restoring that?
There's a couple of opportunities that I'm aware of. Certainly the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Partners for Fish and Wildlife Program supports private landowners who have wetland and upland opportunities for restoration and management. So that would be a really great program to call and talk to the folks there. And they will know other programs that are similar. We have a wetland restoration handbook, which talks a little bit about restoration and management techniques, mostly about restoring wetlands that had been converted to agricultural uses, restoring those to wetlands. But it also it has some resources that might be of use to you, and we do offer that from our office as well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And Katie, let's go back to the opportunities that people may have to learn more and volunteer for Wisconsin Wetlands Association. What kinds of things could they be doing?
Well, we have volunteer assistants in our office to help get mailings out, to help us prepare for events. We have an intern right now who's working specifically with us to plan our annual conference, which is held in February every year. And then we've got events and field trips where volunteers are certainly helpful. Our conference, we use a lot of volunteers at our conference to help things keep rolling and make sure we've got folks on all the buses for field trips to keep everybody from harm's way there.
And, of course, you can go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can find out more about opportunities and more about the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And also, you'll find out more about the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission that Peter David is a part of. Peter, thank you so much for taking time to be with us, and congratulations on that award.
Well, thanks very much. The award, I really see it as a program award, but I will very gladly accept it on behalf of all of the people who have cooperated to this rice restoration. But it's been a pleasure to be on the program.
Thank you. Peter David, biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Katie Bialfis, Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Pleasure to have them with us. And thank you so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network.